I'm Pamela Powell for Real Honest Reviews. The 2017 Slam Dance Film Festival had an absolutely stellar lineup this year that included Bill Watterson's film Dave Made a Maze. This comedic fantasy horror film takes us on a journey to a world inside Dave and Anna's living room. Yes, their living room. While Anna is away for the weekend, she returns home to see her living room with a huge cardboard fort built by her boyfriend Dave. But where is Dave? Well, he's lost in the fort. She calls in the crew, aka all their friends, to try and rescue Dave. The maze is booby-trapped and heads may roll, literally, but the humor and creativity make this one of the most unique films, horror films, I've seen recently. Stay tuned and listen to writer-director Bill Watterson and stars Nick Thune and Mira Rohit Kubani talk about the set of this amazingly creative film and all the beauty and fun they experienced while making Dave Made a Maze. Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell me the role that you played in this movie.
I'm Bill Watterson. I directed the film and I co-wrote it with my writing partner, Steven Sears.
I'm Nick Thune and I play Dave, who made the maze.
I'm Mira Rohit Kambani and I play Annie, who finds the maze in her living room.
I like how you roll your eyes when you say that.
Still in character.
I have to ask you, where in the world did you come up with the concept for this film and then to go through with making this unbelievably creative film?
Thank you for your comment. It's based on a true story, actually. With my childhood friend John Richards, we built a beautiful bedsheet and pillow fort in my room. And it was wall to wall. It was really something special. It had different rooms, it had tunnels, it was a dream come true. And then I was going over to John's for dinner, left the note for my mom, Mom, I met John Richards for dinner, I'll be back around 8, or whatever my curfew was or whatever.
Right.
Mom comes home, doesn't see the note, calls out for her son, goes upstairs, her son isn't responding, she's starting to panic, she opens the bedroom door, sees this crazy fort that was built and assumes I got lost in there somehow. And tears it apart looking for me. Which is sweet of my mom, but I was pissed because it was a dope fort. And we spent 2 days trying to rebuild it, and it just, we're like, forget it. It's done. It's dead. But I told that story to Steve, who happened to be working on, he was working on a script that I think was called Operation Death Maze, just by chance. And then he kind of threw out that idea and ran with this one. Wow. And within like 3 days, he had a 60-page draft that had all the stuff you'd recognize, the origami pit, the piano room. I mean, half of what's in the final movie was in this early draft that was within days of me telling him this story.
Wow, very cool.
And it was fun.
Tell me about your character, how you came on board with the film, and tell me the most fun part of playing the character that you played.
Well, I got an email saying that they wanted me to do a movie, and that's generally like, great, sign me up. they wanted to meet and talk, and you know, it's funny, even though like you're so willing to want to, you know, to work, you try and act like, I don't know, man, you know, I'm really picky, and they were like, yeah, his name's Bill Watters, and I go, oh, like the guy from Calvin, is it the guy from Calvin and Hobbes? And my agent's assistant was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. Oh, this is cool. And even if you read the script with that assumption, it makes weird sense. Like, just like, oh, yeah, I could see this guy making this cool, like, quirky thing. And so then I went out to meet them at their art, like, the space they were building all these things. And they were building, like, the – forget what you guys were working on that day. I think it was the vagina.
The Majora. But, it's called the Majora.
Yeah, it's the Majora. Yeah. And yeah, I'm on the way there. I just was like, wanted to double check about the Calvin and Hobbes thing. So I called back and he said, yeah, no, it's him. And I go, just Google it. Like, let's just do a real quick check. And then he goes, no, not that guy. But it was just great, like, I mean, it was like, I just fell in love with the script and everything anyway. And then it almost even seemed cooler that it was like, not some guy that was established that was like trying to make something. It was people that want to be established. And
right. That was actually my first website, was not that Bill Watterson.
Yeah. I'm thinking of changing mine to not Nixon. And my favorite part was actually, I really loved shooting the scene where I don't want to spoil the movie, but where I kill the heart.
Yeah. Oh.
That was a really fun scene in it.
Why? Tell me.
Actually, no, that was two. One of the first time when I run in and they go, Dave, and they see me, and then I go and run and hit the wall. Like, as I'm as clueless as anybody, but I'm trying to be an action hero or something. I don't know. I just felt like me and Mira really connected in that scene. Like, it just felt like the final of the movie. It felt like something. Like, it felt like the way that the fog and, like, the wind was blowing and this thing was spinning, and it was such a beautiful... Because when you look at... If you were to actually watch a movie, you would think, oh, they totally, like, CGI'd these things going around and looking that cool. And it's not. It's real. And so, you know, you see it being real and looking great. And we only did two takes of it because it was, like... I mean, sometimes we only did two takes of a lot of things, but...
Do you want to know the real reason why we only did two takes?
Why?
It was the last shot of the film, of production. And it was the very last shot on the very last day. And it's actually in slow motion. It plays in slow motion in the film. We shot it 48 frames or whatever. And if you watch it, Nick swings this sword, and the sword continues up and hits the Christmas lights. And the Christmas lights explode in this beautiful spark that looks like we added it in post. But we didn't. So there was a bit of glass. There was a bit of an electricity issue. There was a thank God we didn't just kill our lead actor moment. And we watched playback and we were all like, that's a wrap.
I'll say this too, as an actor, when you do something on purpose like that, you know, and to see it work so well. Exactly.
Your character is absolutely wonderful. I loved your reactions, you know, the roll of the eyes and oh my God. Tell me what you loved about playing your character.
I mean, I just feel like, I guess I just loved bringing it back to like, what the fuck is this? Like, you know what I mean? In a great way, you know, like for everything. But also like that pull of like, I love him and I'll do this thing, but I need help understanding this thing, right? And like not being afraid to like just say, what are you doing? Like, what is happening? But you do things for the people that you love. And then you realize, and then you like understand what they are.
Right.
If you go through that journey with them. And so I love that journey.
Yeah. So within the fantasy world of this, there's actually a little bit of a reality world.
Yeah, totally. I totally think that. Yeah. And a relationship, you know, how a relationship evolves. Like, right. Cause I felt like there was a lot of groundedness in this relationship, in how it was written. And, you know, I just felt like there was a lot of truth in the way that relationships work and how two people are trying to understand each other, but ultimately they have to go on the journey of understanding each other.
Right, you know? It can't just be automatic again.
Yeah.
Next question I want to ask you is, you talked about the set, or you going to the set. Mm-hmm. How big was the set?
So much smaller than you think.
Really?
So much smaller than you think. We had one soundstage in Glendale, one space. I don't remember the actual dimensions, but the apartment, we built the apartment that wasn't a location. And that was, I'd say, that took up about 2/3 of the space we had to work with. So we had the apartment up and running, and we had one other set next to it, the tunnel when they first enter. Okay. We had those two sets up simultaneously. And then we just started repurposing and tearing down and repurposing and tearing down. So there were only ever really two sets functioning at any given time.
Okay.
Two and a half, maybe. And everything, is as soon as we called cut, all the carpenters went to work to complete the set that we were about to shoot on next. We destroyed every set at the end of every day on camera so that we would have this amazing montage that made it look like we, you know, spent millions of dollars in this climactic physical climax. We just destroyed every set at the end of every day.
Did that kill you a little bit to do that? Because, I mean, the sets were gorgeous. I mean,
Everyone a work of art. It did and it didn't. We were so under the gun. We had such an unreasonable schedule. We had 20 days of principal with all of our actors. And we were working so hard that every time we destroyed a set, I knew it was because we were moving on to the next set. So not that I was heartless about it. I mean, of course it was a shame to tear this down, but there's also the element of the number of artists we had working on this and the level of talent was through the roof, and they were just bottomless. They were bottomless. So you could almost in faith destroy, knowing that the next thing that would rise out of those ashes would be even more beautiful.
It was gorgeous. It was simply breathtaking. It really was. Oh. How many artists did you have?
2,000. We had,
Oh my God, that's awesome for a new film. Wow.
We had two key production designers in Tricia Gum and John Sumner, who did the drawings and the conceptualizations. And then Jeff White, who got additional production design credit because he did so much on the fly, was our art director. He brought in a cardboard artist from San Francisco, Mike Murnane, who was one of our lead sculptors. And then the art department I mean, when you see the credits roll, the art department goes on forever and ever. Right. And it was everybody. I mean, the writer was in the art department. No one walked out of that movie without a glue gun, hot glue gun scar. Like, it was all hands on deck at all times. The producer, John Charles Meyer, is in, you know, every set photo of John Charles Meyer, he's got a hammer or a screw gun or a glue gun in his hand. Wow. Everybody was just working around the clock. It was nuts. It was not fair.
Frankly, I can't even imagine. I really can't. I was just blown away by that. Are you an artist as well?
No, that's the thing. I got a bunch of artists together so that I could go, wow, look at these cool artists. I really like all these artists. No, I'm lousy with my hands, and I got even more self-conscious about it. Like, when it was like, yeah. Hey, Bill, can you lend a hand? I'd be like, all right. Yeah. And then I'd do one thing, and they'd be like, nope, you did it wrong. And I was like, oh, God damn it. I'm not super crafty. Yeah. I mean, I try to tell myself I have taste, so I brought good people together.
There you go. Yep.
I used to draw comic books as a kid. I mean, okay. I've been fascinated with stop motion and all that stuff, miniatures and everything my whole life. But as a builder, I'm not really one who builds.
Okay.
Rolling it back just a sec, the one set that did break my heart, there's the octagonal space corridor.
Yeah.
All the cardboard with the perfectly round holes, yeah, and the shafts of light. That got built and destroyed on the same day. Mm. And I would have liked to have, like, gotten a sleeping bag and slept in it one night. Aww. But it only existed for about 4 hours.
I remember sitting in it and, like, just being so, because I couldn't move because it was put together so quickly and it looked, right, so perfect. But you, like, any movement, it was like, oh, we got to get someone in.
Right.
Nick fucked something else up.
There was only, like, a 2-foot by 2-foot space that was actually safe to sit on.
Okay.
The rest was all for show.
Yeah, it was like there was a board under that part.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hope you enjoyed listening to Bill Watterson, Nick Thune, and Meera Rohit Kumbani talk about their creatively unique comedy horror film, Dave Made a Maze. You can follow them on Twitter at Dave Made a Tweet, or follow them on Facebook at Dave Made a Maze. Check out realhonestreviews.com for more information. That's R-E-E-L, honestreviews.com. I am Pamela Powell for Real Honest Reviews.